This podcast is intended for adult audiences over the age of 18. It contains adult language and situations. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this podcast belong solely to us, and not of any employer, organization, committee, or other group or individuals. This podcast is not intended to be taken as professional advice.
Welcome to the Swing Nation Podcast, a podcast by swingers, for swingers, where we look to educate others and push back on the negative stigmas and misconceptions associated with our lifestyle. Come with us and share our pineapple journey as we travel the globe, interview the experts, learn and grow together. Join the nation. So Lacey, people are asking, how do they get to go to a party or an event with us?
They check out swingersociety.net, you create a profile, you sign up for an event, and you come hang out with us. Super easy.
That's right. If you want to party with us and the other faces and names that you know from social media and TikTok, head on over to swingersociety.net.
Can't wait to see you there.
Sexual healthcare can be so much more than STI testing. WISP offers services like emergency contraception, help in delaying your period, UTI treatments, and so much more. They even have a product called the OMG cream that helps provide more fulfilling orgasms for women. WISP provides same-day prescriptions and can give you discreet treatment in the comfort and privacy of your own home. Check out the link in our show notes or go to hellowisp.com and use code SWING for 15% off.
Most people have unprotected oral sex, right? Be honest. Now think about your last STD test. Did your doctor tickle your throat with something that looked like a giant Q-tip? Probably not. Yet that's the only way to check for oral gonorrhea or chlamydia, which are often asymptomatic. You need a better doctor. You need shamelesscare.com. Use coupon code TSN at checkout.
Hey there, pineapple people, and welcome to the Swing Nation Podcast. We are your hosts, Northern Guy
and Southern Girl.
And today we have Dr. Store back. Welcome back, Dr. Store.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm glad to be here again.
I feel like it's been a while.
It feels like it has.
Longer than usual.
Yeah, I think we tried to do it a couple times, and then for some reason, like one of us got sick or one of you guys, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. Okay, so Dr. Store is here today to talk all things sex toys.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've done a few sex toys. We had Lovejoy.
Love Honey
mm-hmm. on, and because they make sex toys. We talked a little bit. They had us open an advent calendar and we kind of went through some stuff. But I don't think we've done a few, like just talking about the different sex toys and stuff. But I think this is going to be a little bit different coming from kind of a medical perspective, because there are, I guess, are some things to consider medically when searching for your sex toy.
Clean it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess, yeah, let's just start. So are there, because when we go on the interwebs and we Google sex toys, you're going to find all kinds of different sites and websites, and there's sex toys on Amazon now. And I think you can even get them off of Temu and all these other sites.
Yeah,
and
you can get them at Target and Walmart.
You can
now
get a giant dildo for like 99 cents and you just got to ship it from China and all that stuff. So
it costs $20 to ship it from China, but it's
$21. $21.
That's true. But I guess my question is, when we are looking online for different sex toys, maybe what are some things we should consider? Or are all sex toys created equal?
I kind of think of sex toys as being akin to shoes. You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
So if you buy a $2 pair of shoes, you better be expecting that stuff's going to fall apart in about 3 to 6 months. If you get a cheap sex toy, it's either going to break or it's made out of crappy material that you probably oughtn't be placing inside orifices of your body.
Yeah. So is there like, so if you're reading like, you know, if you're on some of these websites and you're looking at like what the toy is made out of, are there things to avoid?
Yes. So the safest sex toys are typically going to be made out of glass and silicone. Those can be cleaned easiest and can actually be boiled. So you can boil your silicone sex toys and your glass sex toys to completely sterilize them. So, you know, if they get grungy or get yucky or start to discolor, super easy way to fix it. So typically I would say avoid plastic, anything that's got plastic in it, that's made mostly with plastic, those types of things I would avoid like the plague. So glass and silicone are definitely preferable, and hence the reason for the cost. Those are more expensive materials.
Yeah. So is plastic sex toy, is that like normal? Do we get those?
Are plastic sex toys all over the place, or they're different. Like, you would think that they don't have plastics in them, but when you actually look at the device themselves, there's plastic, either liners or clips or like the outside, those like spongy materials. Sometimes those soft materials are not silicone, they're plastic.
Okay. Is there any, like, other than reading like what it's made out of, is there like a tried and true way to tell the difference between material? Like, is there a way to see if it has plastics in the silicone, like you're saying, without?
Probably the price. You know,
yeah, I was about to say the money. The price tag is going to typically tell you. Yeah. There's things that are made out of plastic more frequently would be things like clitoral vibrators. Mm-hmm. So the clitoral vibrators that look like little lipstick tubes are almost always plastic. And a lot of people use those just for their clitoris, and that's probably okay. But if you're sliding that bad boy up inside the vagina, that's something you can't ever really clean. Like, those, you just can't really clean plastic like that. It doesn't clean properly, and you can harbor bacteria inside of it. And then next time you put that in your vagina, you're shoving bacteria up in that bad boy. And the vaginal walls and the vaginal, like, general, that's the word I'm looking for, milieu, is a very good growth medium. It actually helps keep sperm alive while they're hanging out trying to get up inside to, you know, cause a pregnancy. So you don't want to introduce bacteria up in your vagina. It's a very, very good growth medium. So avoiding anything that can grow those types of ickies.
So it sounds like shop from a reputable dealer is kind of the
reputable dealer, the cost. Yeah.
Is kind of the go-to. Okay. Now, are there any, I guess, when you're using different toys, you know, I'm sure you could hurt yourself, right? I've seen videos of people putting all kinds of things into themselves. And often I wonder, like, how is that even possible? And I'm also intrigued. But what are some of the, I guess, the dangers and things to consider when putting things inside of your vagina?
Okay, I'm not going to talk just vaginas here, because a lot of people put things in their rectums, and that's probably where things are a lot more dangerous. Mm-hmm. It is not uncommon for my ER colleagues to get plenty of patients in their offices or in their hospitals with things shoved up their bums that they cannot get out. So one big hard and fast rule is, if it does not have a handle, it doesn't go in your butt. It needs to have some type of grip at the end, a big ball at the end, or something that will prevent it from going all the way up in there.
It needs a stopper.
That's one of the reasons that, like, anal beads typically have like a hook on the end of them, so you can stick your finger in to pull them in and pull them out. You don't ever want to put anything inside your rectum that doesn't have a stop gap on it of some nature. That's like a number one, because let me tell you, I have been the doctor getting called down for a patient. It's actually one of my favorite stories. This was many moons ago, but I got called down to the emergency room, and all the ER doc told me was, the patient's got something vibrating in their body because I can hear it, and they keep passing out. They keep repetitively passing out, and I don't feel comfortable doing an exam on a patient who's like intermittently awake, because it was a dude. He's like, can you come down and find this damn thing? And so I was like, oh, sure, I'll go down in there. And so I came in, and the patient was about every 30 seconds passing out. She'd wake up within a few seconds, and then she'd pass out again. That was caused by something called a vasovagal reaction. So if you've ever like sat on the toilet and tried to poop really hard, and all of a sudden you got super dizzy and you're like tipsy and you're like, oh, I think I might pass out. That's that same sensation can be brought on by vibration. So, I looked at her vagina, and indeed it was not in there. And I walked out and told the ER doc, not my hole, but that was from somebody getting something stuck up their rectum. And here I am 20 years later, still talking about it. So you don't want to be the person that people are telling stories about later on. You know, and obviously those things can be rather entertaining. Those like, I stuck this up my butt stories. The physicians love those. They're hilarious.
Oh, I feel like every nurse we know has
yeah.
Has
Dr. Sex Fairy was an ER nurse and she was telling us about
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing. Yeah. So yeah, if it doesn't have a handle or some type of hook on the end that you can put a finger through, do not put it in your bottom. That is dangerous. Yeah. And oftentimes those require a lot more than you would think to remove. I know of a trauma surgeon who had to do a partial colectomy, remove part of the patient's colon to get out a device that was stuck up a rectum.
Yeah, that's crazy. So I'm always confused. Why is our butt like a black hole? Like, why does it suck things in? Like, that seems the opposite.
How it's made.
I thought our butt was meant to push things out. Like, why are things disappearing in people's ass? Like, what is this magic? Like,
okay,
it doesn't seem like a good design.
The way that magically works. Okay, yeah. So when you're pushing out poop, poop naturally is kind of pushed down by muscles that are surrounding your intestinal tract. So it kind of like naturally goes all one direction. But poop is not rock hard typically like a vibrator would be. So if you've ever been constipated, how hard is it to get that out?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So when you shove something up inside your rectum that's hard like that, it's hard to get out the other direction because it's not the natural texture of what's supposed to be in there. Mm. And your body's natural reaction to pressure at the rectal verge is to cinch up so you don't leak poop all the time. So unless you're able to relax to get that shit out, which is typically not shaped like normal shit, it's going to be very difficult to get that out on your own accord. There you are. That's why it's a black hole.
Yeah. And so if you can't get it out, then they have to do surgery and go remove part of your colon to...
They don't always have to remove part of the colon. Most of the time when people shove stuff up their rectums, it requires a sedated procedure, kind of like a colonoscopy. They stick a camera up there that's got a little handle on it. It's got a, like grasper on the end of it. And they'll grasp whatever the object is and pull it out. But it requires sedation, and it is expensive to have to go to the emergency room, number one, and then to have a surgery, number two. You do not want to spend $20,000 for that rectal vibration.
And embarrassing. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? Right. Like, oh.
So there's lots of toys that are meant for the rectum. Use those.
Yeah.
Don't use household appliances or whatever.
Don't use household appliances. Don't use regular, like, the dildos that don't have a big old... scrotum on them. Uh-huh. You don't ever want to put those up in your rectum. Heaven forbid putting dilators in your rectum. Those things will slide right up in there and never come out.
We actually had a friend. This is no bullshit. We were at an event and she was known for putting
butt plugs in with
tails on them. Yeah. Like the big like fox tails and stuff. And it's cute and it's kind of sexy watching a girl walk around with the tail because you're like, wait a minute, how are you holding that? And then you're like,
Well, and she would do it like her tails like touch the ground. Like some girls do these like cute little balls. Hers like literally would
right. Like full on, like I don't know how long.
She had a little furry thing going on. That's super tail. Cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. It was sexy. But one time we were at an event and she'd get in the pool with them and all kinds of stuff.
And then it's heavy because it's got like water in it because she's been in the pool with this tail.
And it broke off
the end. Yeah, it broke the end.
Now she's a nurse and she was able to go to the bathroom and self-recover and thank God. But it was a scary moment there for a second when the
I'm sure she had a minor heart attack being a nurse.
Yeah, I'm sure she did. Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
I think she actually told us plenty of stories. I think she's one of the ones that tells us stories about people coming to the ER and stuff like that. Yeah. But that was a scary moment. So again, this is probably goes back to I don't know if it was a cheap. I assume it wasn't.
I bet it wasn't. It was just probably heavy.
Probably just overused.
Yeah.
One of my other favorite stories of something stuck in an orifice was from my residency program way back when. I think it was residency. It may have been right after residency, but I had a patient who got a glass Coke bottle stuck in their vagina. If you're going to put something in your vagina, it should be intended to be in there. If you want to put a bottle in there, keep the damn cap on because she suctioned that glass bottle to the top of her vagina so hard I had to operate to get it out.
Yeah. So it squeezed the bottle and then it
Yeah, I think like she was like just putting it in and out and in and out and you did that. Eventually it sucked enough of her vagina up to the top that she couldn't get it out. She came into the ER with it. And we couldn't get it out in the emergency room either. We had to sedate her and break the Coke bottle. I broke it with a mallet, an ortho mallet that we normally would use to like pound rods into femurs.
So you had to break the glass. And then
I had to. I didn't shatter it by any means. I cracked it just enough that the suction came out. So yeah, don't put anything in your vagina that's got an open hole at the top that could potentially suction. That's not a good deal. It's hard to get out.
That's the other thing with vaginas, I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
No. Like a suck, you know, like you're saying using a bottle. And people do beer bottles. I'm sure like drunk girls do that all the time. I would never have thought of the air suctioning in itself. Well,
they're probably not thinking about that at that time. Trust me. They're thinking about
And the other thing is, if you're going to put a beer bottle in there and you want to keep the cap on, I'm going to call a no on that too. Because beer bottle caps have sharp edges.
Yeah, that's not
good. And your vagina has a very, very big blood supply, and sharp objects inside the vagina are a no bueno. I had a patient one time who came in with her first time of having sex. Bless her. She just had really crappy protoplasm, but dude actually put his penis through her sidewall and lacerated her vaginal artery, and she ended up in the ICU. So you can just imagine that was with a penis for somebody who was a vegetarian, I believe. She just didn't have good protoplasm. If you can imagine putting something sharp in your vagina, you could literally kill yourself. Yeah. So no sharp Coke bottle edges, no sharp anything, preferably.
Well, speaking of that, glass dildos, I know a lot of girls are scared of them. I've heard like people say, oh, I've never used that. And honestly, I hadn't used it until I was mid-30s. Is there anything we need to worry about when you, I mean, like, it does seem a little scary to you.
Put what in? I didn't hear what you said.
A glass dildo.
Oh.
You said earlier glass or silicone. And I know a lot of people don't use glass. It just seems kind of scary. So I guess I was just, you know, curious about that.
Yeah, I think what the concern is that the glass may chip. Most of the types of glass that they use in glass dildos won't chip. Like, okay. You can crack that thing against like concrete and it'll barely make a dent. It's a particular type of glass they typically use for those. So the likelihood of it shattering is almost impossible. Okay. It is a safety thing. I completely understand why people would be nervous putting a glass dildo in there. It's a little harder. It's firm. It doesn't have any give to it like the silicones do. But a glass dildo.
Which is kind of hot. I mean, like it can be like super hot that it doesn't give and that it's like, it's almost like you're getting that bottle sensation.
Yeah, absolutely.
With like a dildo and they actually feel pretty good. But yeah, I guess I've used them and don't have a problem with it, but it's always been in the back of my mind. Like, what if it like breaks off?
Breaks or cracks. Yeah. They're really, really hard to break. If you're concerned that your dildo might break, just take a couple whacks of it on the floor. And if it doesn't give, you're probably good to go.
Yeah.
It shouldn't chip. It shouldn't break. It shouldn't break in half by any means. They're solid glass. Most glass dildos are actually quite safe. And a lot of people do really like them. You can also, one of the little like known tidbits about glass dilators or vibrators is that you can put a clitoral vibrator on the end of them and it'll vibrate all of the glass.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, some people prefer to have that like really hard, like firm inside the vagina, but they want it to vibrate and it's hard to find silicone ones that will do that. Cause silicone always has a little bit of a give to it. So if you want to use a glass dildo, you can put that in and then just put a vibrator right on the tip end of it and it'll vibrate the whole thing, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Another thing probably not to put inside your vagina are really small objects. You would think that's logical, but like really small clitoral vibrators, like those little ones that like clip on your finger and it's just got like a button battery on it. Those are really hard to get out on your own. Those can like wiggle their way up into the top of the vagina and like the little crevices in the corners, and they can be hard to find. I'm sure everybody at some point in the lifestyle has had a condom lost up inside there, and think how hard that thing is to find. Mm-hmm. And it's flimsy and it's fairly, you know, fairly large in consideration. Those little button vibrators, they're hard to get out of the vagina by yourself. And unless you've got really long fingers, and I've had to pull a couple of those out in my office with a speculum exam because they're hard to get to. I can't reach them with my own fingers and I have to put a spec in there to get it out. So small things, anything that's sharp, anything that
I'm freaked out.
Yeah, right. They're like, what do I put
new, new fear unlocked?
Silicone vibrator is what you want.
Yeah, well, I don't really put random things up there.
I was just going to ask,
but
what have you used besides sex toys?
Nothing, but it's still scary.
That's not true. What was the first thing you used to masturbate with?
Oh my god!
What's the first thing you use?
I'm going to kill you.
What is the first thing you use to masturbate with?
How about I volunteer first? Maybe that'll make you less.
Okay.
Okay. Flashlight. Flashlight handle.
Oh.
Mag, to be specific. A mag flashlight handle was the first thing I masturbated
with. Wow. I use electric toothbrush.
Yeah, that's a common one because it vibrates. Yeah.
The end or the handle?
The end, I would use it over my panties. Mm-hmm. Like almost like a bullet type right. situation.
So the like the back of the head of the
No, I use would use the bristles.
The bristles.
Yeah. I mean kinda I mean like
if you never use anything bristle to play with your clitoris, it's wonderful.
It was really nice. Yeah. I liked it. I mean I was young. But yeah, that was my but I mean I wasn't inserting it inside myself. But I have. I mean, like, I would be lying to say that I haven't used, right. like, you've a used, hairbrush.
You said you've never used anything.
No, I
call bullshit.
No, okay. That's
a hairbrush
okay.
handle.
Yeah, I've used a hairbrush. But, like, I've never put anything, like, small up there.
No, no. I meant anything not a sex toy.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A hairbrush would fall into that category.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Dr. Store used
all women at some point have put something inside their vagina that's kind of random.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. like, one of my husband's favorite jokes right now is, how do you tell when a woman is horny or if she's hungry? Depends on where she puts the cucumber.
Mm.
That's funny.
Have you used a cucumber?
No, you had me when we were dating because we weren't together. And so we'd have to like come up with like kind of fucked up shit to do to like keep the spark. And one time he had me go to Walmart and buy a cucumber and lube.
That's it. Just a cucumber and just lube. That's
what's really funny about it is the lube was behind the like worker at Walmart. So I had to like go to the worker with my cucumber and be like, can I please get that bottle of lube right there and like pay for it? I never used it though. I don't think.
You should have. Dude.
I know. I didn't.
The cucumbers are okay? All right?
You so wash it most first? Vegetables are actually typically okay as long as they're, you know, large enough clean. To get in and get out.
But not in the booty. Not in the booty.
Not in the booty. No, not in the booty. They don't have handles on them, so not in the booty. Yeah, just in the vaginal orifice. Yeah, no, they're totally fine. Usually I would recommend rinsing them off first because you want to make sure there don't have any dirt on them. But yeah, if you rinse them off with some water, and you can actually put toy cleaner on them too, and then as long as you don't use them multiple times and they start degrading, yeah, no, you can totally use a cucumber to play with. Yeah.
Hmm. She speaks from experience.
I actually, oddly enough, have never put a cucumber in my vagina, but
I actually bet it feels good. Like if it's cold, I bet it feels good.
I'm going to be honest, guys, that's the thing. Like we think that's hot and I have no idea why we think that's hot.
Are you sure everyone thinks that hot or is it
just
you?
Well, I think it's hot and it's definitely a thing. Like it's on definitely porn a thing. And like, it's a thing. Yeah. Like I'm not the only one, I don't think, but I don't understand why.
Yeah, if we're talking about things like vegetables, fruits, don't put bananas inside your vagina. There's not an end on a banana that's going to be able to go inside the vagina without causing a little bit of kind of roughness.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And you can't like cut that part off because then you're exposing the actual fruit of the banana and you do not want to get sugar in your vagina under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Right. So no bananas.
Yeah.
No bananas.
Yeah. Toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes are okay.
It did not go in me. The toothbrush did not go inside me.
No, it didn't go inside you.
If they did, I hope you didn't use it on your teeth again.
No. No, but I did. It didn't go inside me.
Okay, all right. Why did you literally say a mag flashlight was the first thing you used?
Yeah, we just kind of glossed over
that.
That
was the first thing I put inside of my vagina with masturbation. Yes,
like a D-cell like mag flashlight, like
not the huge ones. No, you know the little small mag lights.
I pictured like one, you know, like the.
Yeah, I mean, we went from tampons to the D-sized mags. No. It was. Are you okay, Lacey?
She's dying from laughing, I think.
We make her laugh and she has to cough. No, it was one of the small mag lights. I want to say the first thing I used to masturbate with that was just a vibrator that I kind of used like a clitoral vibrator was like a lint remover, if I remember correctly.
Okay. So I don't know where I go from there. Yeah, that was the highlight of the episode. You can just turn it off now because I think
okay,
that was.
Well,
well, we can take a break. We can take a break and come back and talk about.
Time, yeah.
All right. We'll take a little break while I regain my composure here and hear from the partners and sponsors of the Swing Nation podcast. And then when we get back, we'll talk more things about what Lacey likes to stick in her vagina.
Oh, my God. No.
I'll be right back, guys.
We here at the Swing Nation Podcast are proud to partner with Promescent. Listen, guys, we've all been there. You're having a hot night with a hot chick, maybe a few hot chicks, but you need to kind of delay the time before you pull that trigger.
That's where Promescent comes in. They have this awesome product called the Delay Spray. You literally spray it on, and it delays the time that you orgasm, so you can make sure that your partner is well taken care of.
And as swingers, we're all about making sure our partners are well taken care of, and Promescent Delay Spray is the perfect product for that.
Click the link in the show notes below to get yours today.
Anxiety can cause ED, like the kind you get while watching your partner with someone else. You're having the time of your life, yet are having stage fright. Most men in the lifestyle use prescription ED medication for this reason. Shameless Care should be your provider. Shameless is less expensive than other companies and has a 50-state network of physicians who are lifestyle friendly. Use coupon code TSN for $30 off. ShamelessCare.com.
Hey, Swing Nation listeners, it's Dan here, and I want to know why you haven't checked out Cassidy.com yet. Cassidy is a lifestyle website where you can connect with other swingers, see lifestyle events near you, and chat with attendees, as well as post travel plans to meet up with pineapple people across the country. We want you to try Cassidy completely risk-free by using the 90-day elite membership trial link in our show notes, or by going to theswingnation.info and clicking on the Cassidy banner under Favorite Apps and Products.
All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back. We appreciate you listening to our sponsors. We love all of our sponsors.
We do.
Even, I think we need to get like a fruit company or something sponsoring us.
Like a vegetable.
Like
an at-home.
What are those like where you get those? Yeah, like they mail you like fresh fruit and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
we need one of those.
Yeah.
There's a place called Misfits Market that could very well be a good match because it's kind of
misfit-y. Wait, is this the one? I saw something about they send you the reject vegetables.
Yeah, we order it every week. We love Misfits. They're great.
It's like the vegetables that aren't pretty.
Oh.
Did you know the vegetables that aren't pretty don't make it to the supermarket?
No,
the ones that aren't pretty, they're not the right size, they're not the right shape, not the right color. Yeah. So we get those every week.
Oh, which wow.
Probably make the best sex toys.
Oh my God. So because they're a little odd.
little
kick. Cucumber with a little wobble on the end.
They got that little
G
spot arch to them.
Like a kick to the right?
Yeah.
We're all going to hell.
We're digressing again. That happened really fast. Yeah.
All right. So we're talking all things sex toys. Okay. So to bring it back, swingers like to use sex toys.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is like I get that question a lot, like when I go TikTok live and stuff like that. People are like, are sex toys allowed? Or like, can you bring sex toys? Is that okay? And I'm like, of course it's okay. Like, is that even a question? Like, I guess it's so normal because we've been doing this for so long. Like, of course it's okay. Like, Dan carries one around in his fanny pack. You know, of course, you know, like, that's just kind of part of it.
I do. I have one of the baby magic wands in my fanny pack.
Mm-hmm.
Basically at all times.
You do.
Just so that I am prepared.
You do. So, yes, the sex toys are a huge part of the lifestyle.
Okay. And the second part of that is, I guess, where Dr. Storer would come in, is the safety concerns around sex toys. Now, I know when I use them, I try to... You know, if I use it on somebody, I'll then take it to the bathroom, soap, water, wash it, and all that stuff. But I guess in some situations, you might not have access to water or a bathroom or something like that. We've seen where, like, people put condoms and stuff on strap-ons and stuff like that. But I guess, what are some good practices for that, Dr. Storer?
Okay, yeah. So anytime a sex toy is placed inside the vagina, it does need to be cleaned properly. Because... especially non-silicone and non-glass, it is fairly easy for bacteria to kind of crawl into the cracks, shall we say. And you don't want to introduce bacteria into the vagina. So after every use, if you're not going to use a condom on it, you want to make sure and wash it. Now, the thing about washing sex toys is you have to be careful what you wash them with. If you're at somebody else's house and all they have sitting next to the sink is a scented hand soap, that is not a good option for washing your sex toys. Anything that's got scent in it is probably going to irritate the vagina of the next person you use it on. So I typically recommend, and at most of the house parties that we go to now, the people that we go usually know this, or I just sometimes bring it with me, is the actual toy cleaner. So you can buy toy cleaners pretty much anywhere. I really like the ones that are kind of like the more natural style. They usually come in like a clear bottle with like green lettering. Why that is, I don't know. But they have stuff like tea tree oil in them, which is antibacterial, but it's not irritating to the vagina. You don't want to put too much tea tree oil in your vagina, but a little bit's not going to hurt anything. And a lot of them are actually even non-foaming, the less likely if they're non-foaming to irritate the vagina. So an actual toy cleaner is preferable. Now, if you don't have an actual toy cleaner, that's okay, but you can't just rinse it off with water. Something like Dove soap would be preferable. Or like absolute worst case scenario, you can't find anything else, a little bit of rubbing alcohol. You can use rubbing alcohol on glass for sure. Silicone's a little bit more debatable. You would have to rinse it off immediately because it may break down the surface. So yeah, you definitely want to wash in between. My recommendation, honestly, would be use condoms on the sex toys. If you're going to be using a clitoral vibrator, you can't really put a condom on that, or you could put it inside of a condom, but just make sure you rinse those off as well, because you can pass STDs from vagina owner to vagina owner with those types of devices if they are not cleaned off in between.
Yes. What about that? We use that, and I don't know, we don't usually use it on sex toys, but we have the cleaner stuff, but that gold Dial soap. We always have that because we get tattoos and stuff. And they always tell you, you know, it's that unscented Dial hand soap.
Yeah, unscented Dial, Dove. Those are both fairly minimally irritating to the vagina. And, you know, obviously rinse off really well once you're finished cleaning it.
Yeah, I think it's Dial Gold, I think is what we always, I guess because we get tattoos and like surgeries and stuff like that. So we, it seems like we always have that kind of on hand at, in our house.
Well, no, my mom has always taught me. So this is like a little backstory, but like my mom's always taught me that Dial will clean anything. So any type of cuts, anything, I've always just used Dial soap to clean it. So
the unscented.
Gold Dial soap. So that's why I've always just bought that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely unscented. Don't ever put scented soaps on your cleaners or on your dildos and vibrators and whatnot, because it will cause trouble in the vagina. So yeah, condoms would definitely be recommended. And obviously remove the condom and replace it before putting it in somebody else's vagina, because you don't want to pass vaginal juice from one woman to the other. Even if there's not STDs involved, every woman's vagina has a little bit of a different pH and a little bit of a different balance of normal microorganisms. So maybe a little known fact, although I think I've mentioned it here before, women do have a natural microbiome in their vagina. There's a bunch of bugs growing in there that are meant to be in there. And when they overgrow or get off kilter, it tends to cause symptoms. And each woman's natural flora is a little bit different. So some women tolerate a little bit more of one bug versus another. And if you share too much vaginal juice, you tend to offset each other's pH. And that can be very problematic.
Yeah. We had a whole episode on maintaining your vagina wellness with Dr. Store. And if you haven't listened to that, I highly suggest you go back. I learned a lot. I was talking about flora and fauna, and you guys were laughing at me during that episode. But
I think we laugh at you every time. No offense,
we
Dan.
We do.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm here for.
So what if, okay, let's say you're on a bliss cruise in the middle of the ocean, and you're in a playroom, and there is no water source within a 5-minute radius. Like, and you don't want to use condoms. Is there any wipes that you would recommend, or is that like really not a safe way to go about it?
Not a safe way to go about it. And like washes, wipes, dishes, and sprays are really awful for the vaginas. And so I wouldn't recommend using any of those. They also are not antibacterial typically. You don't want to wipe all of the normal bacteria out of your vagina. And so those wipes, they more kind of have like scented stuff in them. They're not meant to be cleaners. So gotcha. I would not use those to clean a toy.
What about like the
bonuses about the bliss cruises? They do have condoms like everywhere, all over the freaking place.
They do.
So,
they do.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's other parties that you run out of condoms or whatnot.
Yeah. So what about the wipes that are specifically like targeting sex? Like there's like those dude wipes. There's some
the
like
dude wipes. I don't pH think wipes. The dude wipes. I don't think is targeting sex.
Well, they're targeting cleaning your. But, genitals and vagina.
But there I do buy. They have some pH wipes that I do buy.
But yeah, those are meant to clean your genital region of urine and poop.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
They're not going to kill STDs.
Gotcha. That's good to know.
That is definitely good to know.
Yeah.
So.
I see a lot of people using those like before they go to like play, even like a baby wipe just to kind of freshen up really quick, which I mean, I guess is okay because you're not trying to like kill STDs because, you know, you're just trying to clean up a little bit before you go. But definitely sex toys, they need to be washed with soap and water or toy cleaner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit of a different deal when you're using a wipe for removing poop or removing pee or something like that. You're not trying to sterilize your, you know, rectal verge. You're just trying to wipe the poop off. And toys, you're really trying to prevent STDs getting passed from one person to the next and altering flora and that sort of stuff. And you really don't want soap on that. Anything scented, anything just like pH wipes, it's not going to kill the bacteria. And it's also potentially going to irritate the vagina of the next person.
Good to know. So now you know. You need some water. You need some soap. Mm-hmm. You need to take a break and go.
Water, soap, or condoms.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. Little stuff like that.
Little stuff like that. It's, you know, it's funny because when you think about like having group sex and stuff like that in you know, changing partners, we always use condoms and that's the you know, good. But even stuff like your hands, you know what I mean? When you touch somebody and then go to touch somebody else, you know, like you're saying, you should really go wash your hands in between doing that. Because if you're not, you know, if you're just using a wipe or something like that, a pH wipe to clean up in between, that might not be enough to prevent the spread of things. I mean, hopefully we're all getting tested and nobody has anything anyway. But little things like going and washing your hands in between, which I usually try to do.
You do a good job of that. But I think sometimes like people can have the best intentions and not really be trying to do it. You just kind of get caught up in the moment. So I can see how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if you're considering that, when you're giving oral sex to one person, you probably should go and rinse your mouth out before you give oral sex to somebody else. Right. And I mean, how many times do we actually do that?
Nobody does that.
Yeah.
No, it's just like, you know, when we did our STD talk with you, you kind of talked about that. Like, we're all assuming some risk when you go into these play spaces and engage with multiple partners like that. And there's no real, like, one size fits all answer to all this stuff, you know what I mean? And I think just being as cautious as you can and then getting tested regularly is probably, you know, the overarching best defense for that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're doing as many things as you can to kind of prevent, most of the time it's actually pretty good. And I think I might have mentioned the statistics before, but people in the lifestyle are actually less likely to get an STD than people who are cheating on their spouses. So we're pretty good in the lifestyle about being careful, most of us at least. The people who are brand new to lifestyle may not kind of know all of the ins and outs yet, and they may be more likely to transmit or catch something because they're not as aware of what they can do to prevent it. But most people who have been in the lifestyle for a while are actually pretty low risk because we're so careful.
Yeah. I will say when I was a single male not in the lifestyle, I was nowhere near as precautious about STDs and STIs as I am now as a married man engaging in the lifestyle. And I think I've learned so much just, you know, through the podcast and through talking to people like you about it that I didn't know. And I don't, that's still troublesome to me that we don't have a better sex education, you know, system to where people know these things, you know, going in, coming out of, you know, high school, like you should really kind of be taught the ins and outs of some of these STDs and not just sex is bad and don't do it and wear a condom is basically what I walked out of my sex education classes with, but you know, a lot of pregnancy prevention kind of stuff, but not really the nuanced stuff about you know, STDs and things like that.
Yeah, no, and I think there's data on that as well. We know that in places that do abstinence only education, there's significantly higher teen pregnancy rates. We know it doesn't work in the medical field, but the people who are instigating said educational things still feel like morally that's the high road. If they really cared about teenagers getting pregnant, they would be looking at the medical statistics and figure out that that is not the best way to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So sex toys. All right. So we talked a little bit about using sex toys in like a swinger environment and that really the best thing to do is go and, you know, use a sex toy cleaner in between if multiple partners are going to use the same toy. What about like at home? I think most people, when they use sex toys, they use it and then they throw it in the drawer beside their bed and then they break it. They just grab it again and use it. You know, maybe they're cleaning it every once in a while. Should you wash it before and after you use it? Should you keep it in a container? Like what's some of the, because I guess in my head I'm thinking like, okay, you use it and you throw it in a drawer, but that's, there's nothing preventing bacteria or anything from getting on it and then you use it again. Like, should you rinse it before and after each time?
So what I typically recommend is just washing it afterwards. Best way to do that is, and I mean, honestly, if you're like playing with it right before you're going to go to bed and you want to just throw it on your bedside table, go ahead, wash it in the morning, but don't use it again before washing it. Because as I said earlier, vaginal goo is a very good medium for bacteria. And if you have bacteria on that and you put it in your vagina again, even if you're like, oh, well, there's not anything specifically like visible, you probably still have bacteria growing on the outside of that device. So I typically recommend right after use to go rinse it off, use a toy cleaner on it. Usually the toy cleaners will say to leave it on for anywhere between 5 and 20 seconds, depending on what kind of cleaner it is. Rinse it off and then let it dry completely before you put it back in a drawer with a bunch of other stuff. Most of us have like a toy drawer in the lifestyle. At least I do, a very large dresser drawer.
Lacey has a whole filing cabinet, I think.
You guys have a whole closet full of that stuff. No, it's because you don't want to put it in with other toys that would potentially get wet, or if there's still some bacteria on it while it's drying. So best thing to do is actually to let it dry completely before putting it back in the drawer.
We usually leave ours on like the bathroom counter.
Let it dry.
But we also don't have kids that would just come in there. So that's a difference. I know that if you have small children or somebody that's going to be in and out of your bathroom, you might not be able to do that. But that's typically what we do.
Right.
Yeah, I guess, but there's no issue. House, I mean, we have small children. I still leave it on the countertop. And if my kids ask me what it is, I'd be like, that's mommy's. You don't get to know what that is.
Neither one.
None of them have ever actually walked in there and asked me what any of those devices were.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I get that.
So, but it's fine sitting in the drawer. There's no
worries
about bacteria getting on it if it's just sitting in a drawer somewhere. Like, that's okay.
It should be fine. As long as all the toys that are in there were cleaned before they went into it, it should be okay. The only reason I don't really love washing it right before putting it inside the vagina is you really kind of want it to be dry before you place it in, because that reduces the likelihood of there being bacteria. So, and then if you, honestly, if you dry it off with a towel that you dry your hands off on all the time, that towel probably has bacteria on it too. So it's probably safest to take it right out of the drawer and play with it immediately and then wash it before you put it back.
Got it. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now you know, Lacey.
Now you know.
Which is basically what you were doing anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. I think we could like do a bit, like just overall for this whole episode, we could do a better job about not using wipes.
Not using wipes, yeah.
Yeah, on sex toys, because I think we do that. But other than that, I feel like we're doing pretty much everything right. I also think that, like, for instance, if you're a girl who likes, like, clitoral stimulation, which is what I feel like a lot of the sex toys in the lifestyle are, maybe just have your own, like, for your own self, you know? Like, instead of, like, we're in the case where you have one and you use it on all the girls. Maybe each girl just, like, because we've played with girls like that need that to come. So, like, they'll go get it out of their purse and then they'll use it on themselves while guys, like, fucking them. So, that might be, like, a better rule of thumb is just to have a girl have their own if that's something that they want and need.
Yeah. No, that's a good suggestion. That way
you're not passing it around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's most places
you do have access to. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, like Dan said, he has, like, one of the baby wands. It's super small and super compact, and it's super easy to have in these situations. And we actually have, and I have another wand that we kind of use as our travel wand. So it goes in my bag whenever we travel. It's a little bit more compact. Instead of like the big one that's plugged in goes under the bed, but it doesn't leave there, but everything else can travel.
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea. I really like the idea of everybody just bringing their own clitoral stimulator with them.
Yeah.
Bring your own toy to the party.
Yeah, especially if that's something you need.
Maybe label it, put your name on it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not opposed to putting my name on things. Don't be stealing it.
No, that's good. Okay. Any other toy suggestions or any more do's and don'ts that you've encountered over the years that you would suggest to the Swing Nation listeners?
Not that I can think of, unless you're like really crazy. You were saying like some things that you've seen people place inside their vaginas that you're like, how?
Yeah. So is that real? So, you know, okay. Dan's going to ask a stupid question. I see these videos of women taking like giant penises.
Where are you watching these?
They're on the interwebs. Trust me. You can find them. They're out there.
Where am I?
But some of these penises are ginormous and these girls are riding them. And I'm like, how is that not like physically hurting her? Like, is this some kind of illusion, an optical illusion, or is she just has got her body used to
have
doing that?
Have we just unlocked a kink? Or is this what you're doing?
I mean, I don't know if I'm into it or not into it. I think I'm more just like fascinated by it. Like, yeah, like what is that?
And how is that possible? It's kind of watching a train wreck. Yeah.
Yeah.
So men with abnormally long penises, that, I mean, it depends a little bit on positioning, but the average female vaginal length is not that long. So it's somewhere around 8 to 12 centimeters, which is only like 6-7-8 inches. So in order to get like a 12 inch dick inside your vagina, you either have to have an unusually long vagina or you have to be very, creative with how you get that in there. It's probably never, he's never going to get balls to the wall on anybody. It's just, it won't fit. But abnormally like wide penises, if you consider that babies can come out the other direction and their heads are about 10 centimeters to 11 centimeters around, sometimes that'll tear a little bit. Most penises are not that wide. Most penises right. are not 6 inches wide.
Right.
Yeah. So usually even girthy penises should fairly easily go in and out of a vagina.
We just did a podcast episode like 2 episodes ago. It was on penis size. And in the podcast, we actually measured my penis and it was not 6 inches. It was like five and a half.
No, it was 4.5 around. Yeah. Anyway, he's over here going, mine 6 inches around. I'm like, no, it's not. I measured it.
When you were talking, that's what
yours would be like a hockey puck sitting sideways if it was like 4 inches deep and 6 inches wide.
So where do these 12-inch dicks go, though? Like, where does that go?
They don't go all the way in a vagina. They just don't. They may be doing some trickery with the camera work, or it could be in the rectum.
Okay, yeah. I get the rectum thing. So you can fit giant. You are more likely to fit a giant dildo in your ass than you are in your vagina is what you're saying. And I think from what I've seen, I think that's true too. But I feel like women are taking 12-inch dildos, though, in their vagina, and it's going somewhere.
I don't think it's all going in.
They're just not going all the way.
Yeah. I think that you put as much as you can, but you don't.
So they're taking 6-7 inches of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still hot. I mean, it's more of like the illusion.
I might need to do some more research tonight on.
Yeah. Girls can move their body in like ways and then like enter. I mean, babe, it's porn. It's like all an illusion. None of it is. Come on. You know this. Like, right? You got. Yeah. Did they pull the like.
No. I'm just saying you've seen. I've seen some videos of people putting some giant things, what appears to be in their vagina. So I don't know. I don't know where that thing is going. Is my question. Where? And Dr. Storr saying there's nowhere for it to go.
Okay. Yeah, there's not anywhere really for it to fit. Abnormally long vaginas, I just don't really exist. Abnormally long penises, but vaginas not so much. But one thing, we were talking about wide things. You do have to be careful if you're not actively pregnant about putting, well, I wouldn't do it while you're pregnant either, putting very wide things inside your vagina. There's like a classic picture online of a cantaloupe that got stuck in a vagina. It's like a CT scan. So look up cantaloupe stuck in vagina. Those are very difficult to get out. You can't push those out like you would a baby, because when you're pushing out a baby, you have the uterine muscle to push that stuff out. And if it's just stuck in your vagina, and it's smooth on the edges, you can't get it out. So really large, broad things that can be entirely swallowed up inside of a vagina, and not a good idea. Don't put bowling balls in there. Don't put cantaloupes, honeydew melons, watermelons.
You don't got to worry about me there.
What about pool balls?
Well, honestly, pool balls, because they're small enough, could probably be taken out manually. Have we put a pool ball inside our vagina, Lacey?
You have to edit that out, Dad.
I do not have to edit
it
out.
Yes, you do. You cannot leave this. That was a question.
We may or may not have a friend that sent us a video one time. And I was pretty fast. And so, generically speaking, you see the videos of like ping pong balls and like pool, you're like shooting them out, which
like
I'm always.
An 8-ball. Which is pretty. Like an 8-ball.
Like to have that much control over your.
Like it disappears.
Vagina and muscles.
It, and then it shoots out across the room. Like that's the thing.
That's actually legit. We may or may not know somebody that was. Easier to get out. And if you got a good pelvic floor and you can do a decent kegel, you can pop those things out.
Oh, she must have real good kegel, real good pelvic floor.
She's basically playing pool with her vagina.
She could take somebody out with that.
Yeah. And it had some velocity behind that ball to knock was like knocking other balls into holes.
I forgot all about that taste.
Listen,
that's vaginas hilarious. Are amazing
things.
Yeah.
We have the best friends.
We do have good friends.
Your friend's not sending you videos of them.
Yeah, it's pool. Like, what's your random life? Well, I can touch my tongue to my nose. I can shoot a pool ball out my vagina.
That's the lifestyle right there.
Yeah, you think being able to squirt's a party trick until somebody starts playing pool with their vagina.
Oh, my God.
There's always, you know, those one-uppers, you know, they're always trying to show
up. I didn't expect that to come out. Sorry, y'all. That, like, I was done. I was just like, I moved the microphone and everything. I was like, I'm out. You can't. Okay.
But, okay. So if you're going to put things in your vagina, if they're
clean,
clean with toy cleaner.
Yeah.
And don't, not too big. Or else you can't, they might get stuck.
Yeah.
But ping pong balls, pool balls, it seems to be like that's okay. It seems like Dr. Story, as long as they're clean.
Anything that's the width of a normal, erect, even fairly large penis is fine. Anything that gets beyond a natural penis size, not a good idea.
Okay. Which, yeah, 6 inches, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so that is so like a Coke can. Anything that's like broader than a Coke can probably should not go inside your vagina. Because it could potentially get stuck and have difficulty getting it out.
Right.
Okay.
Or what if it has a handle?
Then it's got a handle on it. Go right ahead. Yeah. It's got a handle on it. Like if you got a dildo that's wider than a Coke can, but it's got something on the end of it, you can grab it
like
by.
Like a suction. Right, like if you got it suctioned to something or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know there's people that I don't know if like that, if it's okay to call them size queens who like to put really large things inside of their vaginas. As long as it's got something on the end of it that you can grab it by. Absolutely. Something that is spherical. No.
Yeah.
Y'all don't have to worry about me.
You're Dan does keep looking at Lacey for all of those who can't see us.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think that if people could see the video of us,
they would
doing
think
that. That,
they would probably think that you were a bigger freak than you are.
Oh, no, you're the freak. We've learned.
I'm just like reading your room. I'm reading the room here. Okay. This conversation has gone in all kinds of directions that I never knew it was going to go. They've been fun. We've learned about fruit.
Yeah.
We've learned about ping pong balls, pool balls. We've learned about Coke anal balls. Cavities. But basically, if we were to surmise this article or this article, this podcast episode,
it's a hot mess.
It's use silicone based or glass based things.
Yeah.
Especially fruit's okay if you clean it.
Yeah.
Nothing that's going to break and go into your rectum. Nothing without a handle in your rectum. And that's about it, right? And clean.
Clean.
Cleanliness.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's godliness. Sterile. Right? That's what they say.
It needs to be sterile, not just like clean of like the debris or stuff around it.
Right.
It needs to
as close to sterile as you can get it without actually putting it in a sterilizer machine. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I mean, I think that's pretty good information.
Yeah.
All right. So, Dr. Store, if people want to find you, they want to learn more about you, they want to learn more about this Maglite situation. Where do they go? Where do they go to find more about you?
You can find me on most of the social media stuff. I'm not honestly super busy with those, but I will answer questions and stuff off of that. But swingingsafe.com is my website, and there is a place in there that you can ask questions. And then also on Discord, it's probably where I get most of the questions from people from the lifestyle. They message me directly on Discord, and you can, with my permission, message me directly.
Yes. So we've seen Dr. Store's in the... If you come on the Swinger Society Discord chat, there's a little section of the server called Experts, and Dr. Store is in the expert section. And I just was looking at that today. You've had several questions over the last couple of months, people messaging you, asking the DM and stuff like that. So we appreciate you being part of the community and kind of being a resource for people. Because I think people are maybe scared to ask their own doctor some of these questions, you know, especially non-monogamous kind of questions and stuff like that. So really appreciate you taking the time to hear people out and answer some of their questions and come on the podcast and talk about all this fun stuff. Okay. We're headed to Secrets next week.
Yeah, we are.
Are you ready?
No.
You're not ready?
No.
We're not ready. Lacey's been sick. I just had a surgery. I just had my vasectomy. We're a crazy town right now.
Yeah.
We got to get our shit together because we got a large event happening at Secrets. That's sold out, but people can still come. There's day passes at the door.
Yep.
And then tickets are on sale now for July Secrets. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't get tickets to this Secrets, definitely go on swingersociety.net and get your July tickets before they sell out. I think we still got like 50 rooms left, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
So go check that out. All right. Anything else you want to tell the Swing Nation listeners, babe?
No.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Anything else from you, Dr. Store?
No, I'm good.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, and we really, really enjoy your episodes. All right. I think with that, in a world full of apples.
Be the pineapple.
Be the pineapple, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
If you've enjoyed our podcast and want to support us, leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening. If you want to see more of our content, you can find links to Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, OnlyFans, and more in the show notes. Come join the conversation with us and other Swinger content creators on our Swinger Society Discord server. If you have questions or feedback, email them to us at theswingnation@gmail.com. Make sure you head on over to theswingnation.net and keep up to date on all things Swing Nation. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.